Right. Take your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 7, and also the book of Revelation, chapter number 13. Book of Daniel, chapter number 7, and the book of Revelation, chapter number 13. I'm going to read quite a few passages tonight. We began looking at the Antichrist last week. We saw how that just as God uses men to accomplish His objectives, Satan's got his men, don't he? And we met one of the two men, both of who are referred to as being beasts. And we began looking at the first man called the beast from the sea. And we saw that he's the coming world dictator during the tribulation period, or we referred to him as the Antichrist. And I have some more things to say about this beast from the sea before we move on. And we saw in our last message how that the Antichrist will be the antithesis of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He's the exact opposite. We found that when Jesus and the Antichrist are compared or contrasted, they are the opposite of each other in both their character and in their conduct. Now, this evening I want to just focus on the Antichrist himself. And just a little bit more here and see what the Bible says about his characteristics. So let's begin reading it over in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse number 1. Because these are our text verses from our study in the book of Revelation. It says, And I stood, in verse number 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Notice that. Where does the power come from? It comes from Satan. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And then in verse 5 it says, And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now over in Daniel chapter number 7, we see in verses number 7 and 8 some references here to the Antichrist. It's the vision that Daniel had, a vision of 4 beasts, We're just going to take a look at the last beast, the fourth beast. Verse number 7 says, After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and notice this, a mouth speaking great things. Look over in chapter 7, verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. It says some more here. It says, Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet. and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. It says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue 3 kings. He shall, notice again, speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. I guess that's where that expression, I'm going to wear you out, come from the Bible. But he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. It says, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times, which is 3.5 years. And then we see, and look at Daniel chapter number 8. Daniel 8, verse number 23 and 24. And 25, it says in Daniel 8, verse number 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, even when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And then we see over in chapter number 11, in the last few verses here we want to read, chapter number 11 of the book of Daniel, and verse number 36, through verse number 38. Daniel 11, verse number 36. Says here, and the king, speaking of the Antichrist, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. So this evening we want to focus here just on the Antichrist a little bit more and see here some characteristics about this one who is yet to come, who's not been revealed. We see, though, a lot about him. I want you to see, first of all, his smarts. We see his smarts. He's going to be a very brilliant man. The Antichrist will be very shrewd, very cunning, and very intelligent, worldly wise. Okay, he's not very smart because he's not spiritual. In the way that he ought to be. And, you know, it's not very bright to forget about God, is it, in your life? And but we're talking about in worldly wisdom. As the world looks on things, as the world would view this man, he probably would be one of the more intelligent individuals that has ever lived on the face of the earth. And in fact, Daniel 7, verse 20 that we read just a while ago says his look was more stout than his fellows. In other words, he's going to be a visionary. His sight is strong. It's not just talking about eyesight. It's talking about he has a vision of things that he wants to see accomplished. Now, in a passage there in Daniel 8:23 that we read, it's talked about him understanding dark sentences. And the dark sentences there refer to being able to work out puzzles. Tricks. He'll be able to recognize people who's trying to deceive him. You know, a deceiver pretty much knows how to look out for other deceivers, don't he? You know, if you're really a master deceiver,
You're a person who's a pickpocket usually don't get pickpocketed, does he? And you know why? Because he's an expert at it. And this guy, he's not going to be deceived other than by the devil, okay? And he is greatly deceived by the devil. But as other leaders may try to outwit him, they're not going to be able to do that because he is going to be a very shrewd, a very cunning, and very intelligent man. So we see his smarts. Secondly, we see his speech. The Antichrist will be a man of eloquence, persuasiveness, confidence, cockiness, and defiance toward God. You know, there's been a lot of smooth talkers in the world, hadn't there? And we've got one that's in the presidency right now. You know, I have no doubt that he's a very good speech giver. He can give some great speeches. But, you know, the following through on the things that he says and really being able to say anything of substance is another thing. But here the Antichrist is going to be a man who's going to be, as we saw in there in Daniel 7:8, he's going to have a mouth speaking great things. And Daniel 7 verse 20 said the same thing, a mouth that spake very great things. And that there in Daniel 7 verse number 25, it says that he shall speak great words against the Most High. And in Daniel 11 verse 36, we read where he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And so he's going to be one who's going to be known for being able to speak. Being able to bring forth a speech and to gain the confidence of people. Revelation chapter number 13 there that we read in verse 5. Notice what it says there in Revelation 13 verse 5 and 6. It says there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, the power that was given unto him comes from God. God's the one that's going to determine his limitations, isn't he? God's the one that's going to set the boundaries for him. And God is the one that limits that. Now, he receives his power. We know, we saw that the dragon is the one that gave him his power and his seed and great authority. And the dragon was the one which gave the power to the beast there in verses 2 and verse number 4. And it says there in the verse number 5 that there was given to him the mouth speaking great things. So, look at verse number 6. And he openeth his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. You know, somebody that's very, very wicked to be able to blaspheme the name of God. How wicked is that? You know, I've seen some very wicked people in my time, the time that, you know, God's given me 55 years to live on the face of this earth. And, you know, I thought I'd seen it all. And then it just keeps getting worse and worse. We live in a time of great blasphemy. And there's a lot of blasphemy against our God and against the Lord Jesus Christ and against us as Christians. People are rising up and they're speaking words against the Lord Jesus Christ. But so we see his smarts. We see his speech. Thirdly, I want you to see his statesmanship. He's going to be a political genius, this Antichrist will be. His political authority will be given to him, and he becomes a ruler through the international consent and permission of 10 kingdoms. That's the 10 heads that are talking about there from within the boundary of the old Roman Empire. And he will be a forger of peace treaties too. As we look at the situation over in the Middle East, it looks near about impossible, and it is impossible during our time, for there to really be a peace treaty between Israel and the Muslim nations, the Arab nations. We know it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen until Antichrist, but somehow Antichrist is going to be able not only to forge this peace treaty, he's going to do something that we would think would be impossible, and that is the tabernacle is going to be built there in Jerusalem. And it's, you know, that's what the Jews are wanting. The Jews are going to get some things that they're looking to get. No doubt they're going to have to give up some concessions. I don't know what he's going to do, but we know that the Antichrist is going to be a forger of peace treaties. And Daniel 9, verse 27, talks about how that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that's speaking of a week of years. It's talking about 7 years. There's going to be a 7-year covenant. And in the midst of the week, in other words, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to allow Israel, they can have their sacrifices and they can have their tabernacle, but in 3.5 years, it's going to stop. And he's going to break the treaty. And he's going to set himself up as being God. And it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that shall be determined, shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now we read there in Daniel 7, verse 23 and 24, it said there that the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. I mean, this guy, he's going to be not only a political genius, but he's going to have more political power than any person that's ever lived before him. There's been world rulers that wanted to rule. They wanted to rule the world. I mean, we've seen, the Caesars in Rome. They wanted to rule the world. Alexander the Great. He was wanting to be a world leader. Even in our times, and the Hitler wanted to rule the world. But we see that this man will actually rule the world. And he will have power over all. And it says that in Daniel 7:24 that the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So he's going to have that political savvy, the political statesmanship. He's going to be a genius. And there in Daniel 11, verse 21, that it says that, and his estate shall stand up, in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So this guy's going to use his personality somehow to deceive many and to obtain the leadership of the world. And the Antichrist will put one of his headquarters in Jerusalem, according to Daniel 11, verse 45. It says that he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Of course, the holy mountain is there in Jerusalem. And so yet shall he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. But we saw there in Revelation 13, and verses number 1 and 2, we saw him rise up, the rising up of the Antichrist. And these verses describe the governmental structure and abilities that the Antichrist will have. And it has to do with a conglomerate of nations that are there. And it stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, the 10-nation confederacy there. Upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So he's going to have great power. He's going to have the seat of authority, the great, very great authority that will have been given to him by by Satan himself, the dragon. Look at Revelation chapter number 17 for just a moment. We see we're going to jump ahead just a little bit. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we do want you to see here what's happening in Revelation 17, verse number 11 and 12. It says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Look down to verse 17. It says, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give unto their kingdom, to give their kingdom unto the beast, and to the words of God shall be fulfilled." See, all of this is going to be right God's going to have his hand on the thermostat of things that are going on. Nothing's going to happen apart from God allowing it to happen. God has His purpose. God has His plans. And we see that Antichrist will think he's in control, and it will appear he's in control. But listen, ultimately, God is sovereign. God is the one that's in control. And He's bringing about these things on the earth to consummate the ages and also to punish those who are wicked on the earth. So we see the Antichrist's smarts. We see his speech. We see his statesmanship. I want you to see his savvy also. His savvy. He will exert great power and control. And the world will wonder at his success. The world's going to look at the Antichrist and they're going to say, man, you know, never met anybody like this before. You know, who's going to be able to go against this fellow? Nobody's going to be able to war against him. The world will wonder at his success and that he will control money and commerce and put into practice a worldwide rationing system. Look at Revelation 13 and verse number 16 and 17. Look at Revelation 13, verse number 16 and 17. It says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, we don't know really what the mark is going to be. I know back when the UPC codes came out on all the groceries and everything, folks thought that the mark of the beast was going to be a UPC code. And there's been a couple of years ago that came out a V-chip. Remember the V-chip that of course, they use in dogs to try to identify the dogs with their owners. And there were some people, actually folks down in Florida, were the one first family that decided that in this world of terrorism in which we live, that they wanted to be able to be located wherever they were at. So they had that V-chip inserted up under their skin, and it releases a signal for them to be able to be located. I don't know whether it's going to be a V-chip. I don't know whether it's going to be a UPC code. All I know is it's going to be a mark, and it's going to be a mark of the beast. Okay, and it's going to take some form. And in this technology that we live in, ain't no telling what it's going to be. You know these little symbols they put now on just about everything. You can walk down in the mall and they got one on the wall there just outside of Sears, and you can take your cell phone and you just go. You can just take a picture of that thing, and it will give you all kinds of information about Sears. You know, if you've got one of those smartphones, and you'll see them in the paper sometimes, and the advertisements. So just it don't look like nothing. It's just little blotches, black and white blotches all over the place. And you look at that thing and say, well, how in the world does that work? I don't know how it works, but I know we live in some great technological times. And I know that technology is increasing faster than we can keep up with it. Me and my wife, we feel like we've been left behind anymore. We used to try to keep up with things, but I tell you what, anymore, I just feel like I'm way behind. Don't even try on some things. And it's like, okay, that's beyond me. I do good to be able to take the VCR and the DVD and be able to program them and get what I want programmed there. But listen, technology we know is great in the time we live, and it's ever increasing. Who knows what form it might take whenever this one takes his power, whenever the Antichrist comes to power. But we see there in verse 16 and 17 that it talks about that if you whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're free or whether you're a slave or in your bond, you got to receive that mark in order to buy or sell. Try to do any kind of commerce, you're going to have that. He'll control the money, and you know, just about everybody's having money problems these days. You know, the United States is not the only ones having money problems. These last 2 weeks, the up and down in the market was not actually caused by the United States' problem with money as much as it was with Europe. There are some nations in Europe that they're afraid are gonna go bankrupt. That already Greece has had problems this past year, and as you look at the nations, everybody it seems is troubled. And you know, even China has got trouble because they get mostly invested in the United States, and if the United States falls, China's going to fall and Japan's going to fall because those two countries are heavily vested in the United States bonds, the government securities they own here. But listen, the whole world, I believe the whole world is going to be in a world of hurt, and he's going to have the solution. He's going to come on the scene. He's going to be such a savvy person that he's got the solution to this thing. And all you got to do is just give him control. And the world would give him control. And by and large, most folks are going to be giving him control by taking the mark of the beast. And it says in Daniel 8, verse 25, it says, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand," we read, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And then in Daniel 11, verse 38, we read that his estate shall in his estate he shall honor the God of forces, and God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. So the Antichrist will worship the power, I believe, of military might. He's going to be a military genius, have a military might. Governments of the world today, we know, put great emphasis and security in their military technology and weapons. It's kind of mind-blowing what they can do, really. When we had cable, I used to watch the military channel just to look at the weapons technology that they had. It was just mind-blowing to see some of the things that that they're able to do. You know, I remember whenever our troops went in Baghdad, and they were talking about the smart bombs, you know, and these cruise missiles, and they could just pinpoint the things. And it was just amazing to me. And listen, technology is continuing to increase, and it's even going to be greater in the time whenever Antichrist comes to power. In Daniel 11, verse 43 says, "But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." Now, when it says over all the precious things of Egypt, I don't think it's just talking about the country. Egypt is the type of the world. All the precious things of the world. And he's going to have the power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things. He's going to have control. Nobody's going to be able to buy. Nobody's going to be able to sell. You're not going to be able to do anything without that mark. He's going to be savvy. And you know, that's a smart way to be able to control the world, isn't it? Through that. And then we see his strategy. The Antichrist will be a cunning warrior. He'll also be a world dictator. We saw, remember, when we began this section on the tribulation in Revelation 6, verse 2, we saw him riding in the white horse, and it says, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." A crown was given unto him. He's going to be a world dictator. And Daniel 8, verse 24 says, "His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Look there at Revelation 13, verse number 4. Revelation 13, verse 4 says, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto him? Who's able to make war with him?" You know, that's how mighty, how much power this man has. He's got all kinds of power here. Look at verse number 7. It says, "And it was given to him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." That, friend, that's a worldwide leader, isn't it? It's a worldwide leader. His strategy is to take over the entire world, to have the world control. If you got the control of the entire world, you got it all, don't you? Well, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And you know, this one is going to be able to gain the whole world. It's all going to be in his hands, but yet he will lose his own soul. And then we see his source. He receives his power and his authority from Satan. There in Revelation 13, verse 2, the very last phrase there in chapter 13, verse 2, says, "The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority." How sad to give yourself over to Satan, to be At some point, he's even going to have, Satan's going to embody him. He will be possessed by Satan himself. And it's going to be a terrible time on the face of the earth when that happens. And over in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 9, it calls him, says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. So he got his source of power from Satan himself. So tonight we've seen the Antichrist. We've seen his smarts, very shrewd, very cunning and intelligent man. We've seen his speech. He's a man of eloquence, persuasiveness, confidence, cockiness, and defiance toward God. We've seen his statesmanship. He's a political genius. We've seen his savvy. He's going to appear to have be an economic genius from the world's view. We've seen his strategy. He'll be a world dictator and a cunning warrior. And we've seen his source. He receives his power and authority from Satan, but God is the one who gives him the time to have that power and authority. Now, such a person like this is sometimes hard for us to fathom. But the world is ripe for such a person, isn't it? The world is ripe for it. You can see the world being molded to receive such a person as this. The world looks at the leaders and the would-be leaders of this world, and they see the shortcomings. I mean, already in this political season, you know, we're still a long way away from the election, you know, over a year away. But yet, there's political gesturing already. The ones that some folks are having hope in, they, through some things that some of them are saying, they're losing hope in them already. Some that came into the race have already dropped out of the race, and racing hadn't even hardly started yet. But the world looks at leaders and the would-be leaders of this world, and they see the shortcomings, and they get disappointed. And when Antichrist comes, the world will be blinded to his shortcomings initially, and he will be received with open arms. And the question is, who's going to be left behind to meet him? And I'm glad I'm not going to be here. And I hope you're not going to be here either. You know, will you be left behind to receive him yourself? If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you will be. So if you're not saved tonight, trust the Lord. How about others, though? Are you concerned about others? You know, I don't know about you, but I like to see my family saved as early as possible. Got 3 grandchildren. Love to see them saved at early age. I know it's all in God's hands. And, you know, as far as what happens in the end times with them, I know that God's a gracious God. And even if they were left behind, that God, in His mercy, I think that, you know, He'll work things out such that they'll be able to go to heaven. But, you know, if they grew up to become of the age of accountability, then know that they're sinners, I want them to get saved. I want them to I want them to miss this time. I don't want them to be left behind to be deceived by this one. And listen, we've got folks all around us, and we've got the ability to influence with a tract or a word or a deed. And some of these folks are, we're their only hope. You know, we're the ones that God has placed in their path. You know, we've got the ability to put those bumper stickers on, you know, with the web address. Somebody might, not everybody's going to look at that website. Yeah, but somebody might. Now, some folks will. Some folks will look at it. And some folks go there and they might listen to some of the preaching from this pulpit. They can access our sermons on there. They can listen to the preaching of the Word. There's a plan of salvation on there, which tells very plainly how a person can know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die. And who knows what might transpire. We come into contact every day with people that we have the ability to influence through some method that's in our hands. And God help us to do that. Right now, the majority of the people we come into contact with are blinded by Satan, and they need us to show them Jesus Christ. And the question is, can they depend on you to do your part? What kind of representative are you for Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for you leaving us with, Lord, the instruction book, your Word of God. We thank You for showing us the future, the prophecies that are here. Lord, we know just how bad the things seem, but I don't think we can begin to fathom how bad they're really going to get. Even by looking in the book, we're reading words, but Lord, reading words in a book and being in the midst of it is going to be the difference between day and night. And Lord, there's going to be some folks that we know, possibly, that are going to be left behind to be deal with this aftermath, to deal with this one who is so full of deceit and is going to be given this power by Satan himself. Lord, we just pray that we would do our part to see as many folks as we can, Lord, miss out on this time, and miss out on hell. And some folks are not even going to make it to the time of this. They'll die. We have many folks that are on our prayer list that have terminal illnesses that we're praying for. And God, they need the gospel now because they might be called home in death. And we don't know whether death will come or whether the Christ is going to come back first for us. But we just know that we need to be ready. Lord, help us all be ready and to help those around us to get ready. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.